be used for cryptography. Okay. And first, the naive algorithm to do this. So what do we want? We want to construct an elliptic curve over some finite field, or we stick to prime fields for today, Fp, such that p is around 60 digits, or 200 bits if you guys like that better, and such that the group order of that elliptic curve is prime or almost prime. That's the main thing we want for cryptography. Okay, so what you might just think of, well, choose your favorite prime. Of size 10 to the power 60. Then you pick a random curve. E over FP. You count its number of points. And if that is prime or almost prime, then you return E, else next curve. That's a naive way of doing it. And this actually runs in polynomial time. Polynomial in log p. The reason being that you can count the number of points in time polynomial in log p by the algorithm of Schoof, or its improvement by Atkin and Elkies. And how many curves do you have to test before you hit the curve of prime order? Well, that's about log p, because these elements here, these group orders of these curves, are more or less random elements of size p. And how many random elements do you have to write down of size p until you hit the prime? Well, it's almost log p. That's the prime number theorem, if you want. So this runs in polynomial time. And this is heuristically, of course. Because I said to you, well, you have to just write down log p random numbers. These are the random, and it will work. So this is not proven whatsoever, but it's heuristic, it's polynomial. So you might say, okay, that's good enough. The bad news is, if you work it out, what do you get? The runtime is more or less, think about this, log p to the power 6, I guess. Because counting the number of points is big O of log p to the power 5. You have to do it log p times, so that gives you log p to the power 6. And as a kind of golden rule, polynomial time algorithms are fast if this exponent is not too large. So exponent 1 is great, 2, 3, and 4 are also good, but 5 and 6 tend to be a little bit slow. This is practical experience, blah. Okay, so we need something faster. We want to reduce this exponent 6. Okay. And how do we do that? Well, we're going to use all the CM stuff I've been talking about the entire week. All the morphisms, we're going to use those. And I'm first going to explain what I already hinted at yesterday. Is that if the counting the number of points is easier if you know the endomorphism ring of the curve. Because this 6, that was 5 plus 1, I had to do something log p times. And what did I have to do? Well, it took time log p to the power 5. So I want to improve on this 6, I have to count the number of points faster. And for that, it helped me if I speak special curves for which I know the endomorphism ring. They can, I can count the number of points much faster. So what is the setting? E over FP. We have known endomorphism ring. And E, I'm going to restrict myself for case of simplicity. I do that. So I'm going to restrict to ordinary curves. Those were the ones that we wanted to use anyway. Ordinary curves with known endomorphism ring inside some maximal order. So endomorphism ring bodies ordered in these number fields, the negative and square free. And now we're going to count the number of points of such a curve, knowing the endomorphism ring. What we need to compute the phrase of this morphism, right? Of the Frobenius morphism. This morphism corresponds to an element of norm P inside this maximal order, if you want, embedded in the complex numbers. So I just have to find all the elements of norm P inside this order. Then I compute the trace of these elements, and that will enable me to count the number of points. Okay, so how do I find the elements of norm P inside this order? What do we have to do? So what do we know? This thing for P equals in integers T and F. If we solve this equation, then T will be the trace of an element of norm P. So that's the one we're looking for. We need to solve this equation in integers T and F. Okay. It turns out in fact, there's a very classical algorithm to solve this. And that is due to Cornacchia, and it's from 1908. So does everyone know this algorithm? No, probably. Okay, so let's write it down. First step. We're going to compute a square root of D mod P. Compute square root X in FP. Capital D. Just looking at this equation, it's hopefully true that D has a square root mod P. Yes, T divided by F is a square root of D. So D has a square root. And we compute it using whatever method you want. I want to explain the fast method of doing this on the next blackboard. Okay. There we go. That's step one. Oh, and that's called X naught in my notes. Okay. And I'm going to ensure now that it lies in the correct interval. If it's not equal to d-mod 2, I replace x naught by p minus x naught. And then, as a put a equal to 2p, b will be x naught, and L will be the floor of 2 square root p. Okay. Step 3. If this b turns out to be larger than L, we're going to do Euclidean division. A mod b. A becomes b. B becomes r. And return to step 3. This is Euclid. Step 4. T and F, right? T and F is going to be... Okay. This is an algorithm. This computes the solutions to that equation. And you see what's going on here? It's pretty fast. All I'm doing here is Euclidean division. This is a variant of the Euclidean algorithm. So this algorithm is really fast. To prove that it actually works, that's not completely obvious how to do that. There are many proofs. There's one nice proof in the 95 paper by René Schoof on point counting. It's a nice proof that this algorithm works with lattice reduction. So we are not going to prove that it works. One of the exercises is to actually use this algorithm to solve one of these equations. Just you do it by hand in a small example and you see what's going on. It's one of the exercises. Just follow the algorithm and it will work. Yes. Which equation? Equation star? D squared minus 4p equals f squared d. And I don't understand your question, so now we have a problem. I really don't understand your question. Yeah, but you don't know f, right? I mean, indeed, you can rewrite it as t squared minus f squared d equals 4p, sure. Or t squared equals f squared d plus 4p. But you have to know f as well. F is unknown here. If you would know f, then you would have t immediately. But you want to compute two things, t and f. Both are unknown. So you have to do some work here. Yes, that is indeed the claim. And lies in this number field. So if you rewrite this equation, st squared minus f squared d equals 4p, or you try to factor this as t minus f square root d t plus f square root d equals 4p, then you see that t minus f square root d divided by 2 is an element of norm p. It obviously lies in the number field, right? It lies in q square root d. Yep. Yes, but it turns out that you can always stick in the 4 to make it always work. Indeed, if p is congruent to 2 or 3 mod 4, you can probably save on the 4. You just throw it in anyway. Doesn't matter. If you can find an element of 2p, you can find an element of norm p. It's all the same. Okay. So you see from this, indeed, there are elements of norm p in the line in the field. Okay. So this is how you find them. Okay, if you have this t, you might wonder how many elements of norm p do we get. If there's only one element of norm p, suppose, then that would immediately, this t would immediately give me the trace of Frobenius. As you already observed, if you look at the equation, t is only determined up to sine, right? T is a solution, minus t is a solution as well. So there are bound to be more than one solution. So let's see how many solutions do we get. Of norm P, are there in such a maximal order? So let's put OK into the complex numbers again. And you're wondering how many elements I have of norm P. Well, you have one, and obviously minus that thing is also a solution. And you take the complex conjugate, you get another one. So that gives me four solutions, usually. I will come to the special cases later. And the trace of such an element, that is then determined up to sine, right? If I take the trace of this element and the trace of that element, that's the same. Yeah? The trace is this element plus that one. So if I have this element of norm P or that one, for the trace it doesn't matter. If I take this one, then the trace will be minus the original trace. It is exactly saying that minus t is also a solution. So that works out. But there are two special cases. So usually I have four elements. But these two rings comes from the fact that the unit group of these two rings is a bit larger than plus or minus one. Here I have four units, and here I have six units. Which you can also see by just staring at the equation. So for Gi, which equation do I get? I get t squared, if you rewrite it all, plus f squared, 4f squared, no, f. 1f equals 4p. That's equation you want to solve in the case of Gi. Now you see that if I interchange t and f, I get another solution. Yeah? So here we have four solutions. So if I have a solution, I have four. Namely, I can replace t by minus t, I can replace t by f, and t by minus f. Exactly the number of units here. No surprise. And for this one, if you think about it, six solutions. So usually we have two elements, satisfying the integration t and minus t, and for the other one, 4 or 6. And to make my life easier for today, I will just do not consider these two cases. These are very special endomorphism rings, and you don't want them for cryptography anyway. So let's restrict to the case that OK is not equal to Zi or Z theta 3. And then the solution is unique up to sine. T is unique up to sine. So, what was I doing? I was counting the number of points of E, right, over Fp. And then we know that the number of points over Fp equals what? P plus 1 plus the trace. And the trace, I've only computed it up to sine. So that is plus or minus t. Yeah? So now I have to figure out in which case I am. Is it plus t or minus t? Well, what do you do? Pick a random point. So you compute a point. And you compute p plus 1 plus t times that point. And this is not 0. We have p plus 1 minus t. Because the order of a point should is a divisor of the group order. And if it's not annihilated by this, then it can't be the group order. If that's on 0, we have this. Of course, it could be that it is 0. And as a sanity check, you compute p plus 1 minus plus 1 minus t times p. If this is non-zero, then p plus 1 minus t can't be the group order. Then we have number of points fp equals p plus 1 plus t. Yeah, then p plus 1 minus t can't be the group order. Now it could of course be that p plus 1 plus t times p is 0, and this one is also 0. What do? You just take another random point. And with high probability, 1, you after a few points, you will find that either one of them is non-zero. Either this one or that one. And then you compute it to group order. Okay, so this is how you compute the number of points if you know the endomorphism ring. And how fast is this algorithm? So all we had to do was this algorithm over here, which I said was easy. Takes time log p squared, probably, a naive way. And I have to compute multiple of a point, which takes time log p. So this algorithm runs much faster, from log p to the power 5 to log p, if I know the endomorphism ring. Okay, so what are we going to do for our algorithm to construct curves for which the discrete log problem is hard? We're going to construct curves for which we know the endomorphism ring. Then we can easily count the number of points, see whether it's a prime number, and if so, we're done. Otherwise, we try another one. And this will be much faster. That will be the idea. Okay. So just to recall what we did yesterday, all you need to remember is there exists a polynomial p sub k in Zx, the degree of which is the number of elements in the class group of OK, such that the roots in C, or if you want, fp bar, are j invariants curves. We have endomorphism ring. Okay. Yesterday I told you how to explicitly compute this polynomial. But for today this is all we need. We exist this polynomial. Every field k is equipped with a polynomial pk, should say if I compute the roots in over C, if you want, over FP bar, over FP, which will be the relevant case for us, I find J invariants of curves and the morphism ring OK. So if I compute this polynomial, compute the roots over FP, see if there are any, then I have computed the curves which I know the endomorphism ring. Okay. So as a first simple thing, I said, well, J invariants here. So if we like to make the step from the J invariant to an actual curve. So let's do that. That's the easy part. So from J to the curve. So that is, you're giving yourself J, say in FP, and you find an elliptic curve with J invariant equal to that value. What do you do? Well, this is very easy. Already on the blackboard by Roger, I guess, on Monday, the J invariant is a formula, if you want, in the coefficients of the Weierstrass equation. So you just play with the formula and you get an explicit Weierstrass equation. And one convenient one, which I'm going to exclude now two special cases, 0 and 1728. Excluding these is the same as saying that I'm excluding the endomorphism ring Zi and Z theta 3. So I may exclude these. Then you take my favorite curve, Ax minus A, where A is equal to what? 27 times J, 4 times 1728, minus J. This is my favorite curve. A lot of people have other favorite curves. The advantage of this curve is that I automatically have a point on the curve. That's why I choose it this way. Namely, if I plug in x equals 1, then y is 1 is a solution to the equation. So I have a point, 1,1, on this curve. Which means in my algorithm here, pick a random point. Well, you may pick it yourself. So your random point will be the point 1,1. That's the point on the curve. That saves you work in computing a point. That's how you go from the J invariant to a curve. Okay. Next topic. When does this polynomial here have roots over FP? It's nice if it has roots over FP bar, but it's not that used for cryptography. Now I want to decide, when does this polynomial have roots in FP? Can I see that in an easy way? So I reduce this polynomial, mod P, which I can do, just integer coefficients. Have roots in FP. Now I want to have curves over FP, so this polynomial had better have roots there. But of course, not for all primes it has roots, but you can already see that. I mean, the necessary condition was that to actually compute this solution, I had to compute the square root of D mod P. At least what I want is that D is a square mod P, otherwise it will never work. Well, it turns out PK has a root in FP, if and only if I can solve that equation over there, T squared minus 4P equals F squared D, if and only if there is an element of norm P in my ring OK. If and only if there are T and F in G for which D squared minus 4P equals to F squared times Z. So I needed that condition, but it's also sufficient. And for those of you why am I doing this? I've seen class field theory, this is an application. So this is for those of you who have seen that. Then basically what I'm saying is, if I have an element of norm P in my order, then P should split completely to the Hilbert class field, meaning that the defining polynomial splits completely mod P. That's for the proof for those who know it. Otherwise, this is the statement. Okay, and also if it has a root, then it splits completely. If one root over FP, then all roots . So now we have a lot of bits and pieces, so to say, of the final algorithm. So in the remaining half hour, I will put them all together into the algorithm to build strong cryptographic curves. We have all the ingredients now. Except for computing square roots. Does everyone have a favorite method to compute square roots, mod p? Except for trying them all out and square them until you hit one? I mean, you could do it. It's a bit slow. It's an algorithm. Anyone want to see the fast algorithm by Shanks, how it works? I could write it on the blackboard, hand it out in the afternoon. Whatever you guys want. Okay, one person wants to see it. Okay, very good. So, computing square roots. One of the exercises, which is not yet on the exercise sheet, is to actually compute a square root yourself using this algorithm. Are you typing exercises now, Tanya? Then take your favorite prime p and your favorite square mod p, another obvious one, and let them compute the square root using Shanks. Computing square roots. Mod p. That is needed as an input in the Konakye algorithm over there, which is needed as an input if seeing if this polynomial has a root mod p. Yeah? That's where it fits in. So, I'm starting with a square, obviously, otherwise I can't compute a square root. So to see whether a random element is a square is easy, right? You just compute the Legendre symbol. We've seen that yesterday. What do we do? I'm going to factor the group order of FP. Well, factor, I'm going to take out the two part. Q odd. So p minus 1 is odd, and I'm going to factor the 2's, or take all the 2's out of p minus 1, 2 times e times q, q odd. Okay. Try random n. Between 0 and p minus 1. Until we hit one. That is a non-square. So this Legendre symbol should be minus 1. I'm writing down random elements here to hit a non-square. This is in practice very easy. To prove that this is easy, that is hard. Okay. Putting z equal to n to the power q mod p. for this fix n, and fix one. So I fixed my non-square n, putting z equal to n to the power q mod p. Okay, there we go. The initialization. Now very positive, AX mod P. Okay, this is the first step. Defining Y, R, and B. And then comes the recursion step. Step star. If this B happens to be 1 mod P, then you output X. And stop. So then x is the square root of a, which you may check as an exercise if you want. If not, then you find the smallest with m such that b to the power 2 to the m is 1 mod p. So m is an integer. And if you find that the smallest one actually equals r, then we have a problem. Then a was not a square. Which will never happen because I started through. And then what do we do? Y to the power 2 to the r minus m minus 1, y to t squared r into m t r y, and you go to star. This is what you do. This is the algorithm. So here's the condition, if I'm done, if not, then you change your B over here, here's get changed, and you see where there's 1 mod P. You do this until you find one that's 1 mod P. Okay, this is the algorithm, I think, Tonelli-Shinks. This is one way of computing square roots. Okay, one of the exercises is just to do this in a simple example. Okay, so we now have a favorite method to compute square roots, and we get algorithm. A, you have the Kanakia algorithm, so we can compute the solutions to the equation, which is not on the blackboard anymore. There is. We can compute these solutions, so we can see whether the polynomial has a root, and we can, if it has a root, have a J invariant, then I can compute a curve of that J invariant. I can efficiently compute the number of points because I know the endomorphism ring. So it seems we're almost there for a crypto curve. So time for the final algorithm, the last 15 minutes. the algorithm. The input. Two things. The desired size of farm field. And the desired endomorphic numbering. The output is an elliptic curve with that endomorphism ring for which the group order is an almost prime, or just prime if you want, of the desired size.